I think I've spoken to a great majority of you guys, but good morning. It is it's great to be here. I hope that I didn't offend anybody. Everyone seems to be in the back. I hope I don't smell or I don't look funny to you guys, but it's such a great opportunity to be here. Many of you might not know, but I attended Heidelberg for 4 years. I'm one of those people that didn't graduate. I'm on a 5-year plan. I took a year off, and I'm going back in August. But as I was at Heidelberg, I attended this church for a good time. So it's cool. I love the opportunity to speak at churches, but it's cool to speak at a church where you feel at home. And it's just great to be here. A Praying Life. What a great book. And I've been reading the book, and I must say that it's been blessing me so far by what I've read. I love this saying, what's greater than talking about God is talking to God. So any book that enhances your prayer life, I think it's a must read. So I hope that this won't be an activity. I hope that it won't be, the church getting together to have some activity. But I hope that the purpose that this book was written was somehow it will linger into our hearts. That somehow reading this book, it won't be, that was a good read, but somehow that it will dramatically change our prayer life, which will dramatically change our walk with Christ. So I hope that this book really speaks to your heart. And if you haven't read it, I hope that you purchase it and jump on board, because it will speak to your heart. It is my understanding that that the way this is working is I'm presenting to you the section that you're going to read, and then you're going to read it, which I think is, I don't know, maybe I have a witty personality, but I think it's very funny because I can really ruin the reading for you. You know, this guy has a tendency to tell many stories. He has a tendency to tell many stories, and I can just get up here and tell you all the cool stories he tells you in that chapter, and you go and read it, and it just doesn't do anything to you because I ruined it for you. It reminds me of I have a little brother who is 12, and I try my best to spend a lot of quality time with him. In fact, we have his name is Jacoby, and we have J&J time. I'm James, and he's Jacoby. So I try to have a lot of time with him, and I haven't gotten an opportunity to do it so much this summer as I would like. But we were driving in a car once, and I'm always thinking about things to spend time with him. And Marley and Me just came out. Has anyone seen Marley and Me? I hope everyone has, because I'm about to spoil the ending. So I'm excited. Marley and Me is coming out. I don't know anything about the movie. I just know it's about a little dog. And I'm talking to my brother. I'm like, Jacoby, I'm going to rent Marley and Me, and let's read it. Let's read it. Let's watch that movie tonight. And Jacoby looks at me, and he's like, I don't want to watch that movie. The dog dies at the end. I'm just like, why would you tell me that, man? Like, if you don't want to watch the movie, just say that, but don't spoil the fact that the dog dies at the end. So we have that movie at home, and I still haven't watched it because I know the dog dies at the end. What's the purpose of watching it? So I promise you, I will not spoil your reading for this session. I won't even summarize it. What I will do is I will, in my message, allude to a lot of the things that this guy talks about. When Mike asked me to speak, it was kind of cool to see, but God was kind of speaking some things into my life, and he was kind of revealing things to me. And so he asked me to speak, and he presented this book. And I kind of wrestled for a moment because I felt strongly that I wanted to speak about what God was putting in my heart. And then here comes this book that I have to speak about. And as I read the book, And as I looked at the titles, I loved it because they interconnected. My prayer is that what I will speak to you, what God has put on my heart, it won't be exactly, I will allude to a lot of things that he talked about in the book, but it will enhance your reading because they will connect. So let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity, God, just to speak your word. It's such a privilege, Lord, to be able to stand up here and speak your word to your people. God, I pray right now if there's any distractions in this place, if there's any cynical hearts in this place, God, if there's anything in us that says, I don't need this word, God, I pray that like only you can, you will remove that and open up our hearts, Lord. We desperately need your word, God. No one needs to hear from me, God, but we desperately need your word. There's so much going on in our community. There's so much going on in our world, God. And we, as a body, as a people, we need, God, you, your power to come forth, Lord. And I pray that your word tonight, your word today would do just that, God, that it would linger into our hearts, Lord, that you will speak through me, God. I am your humble servant, Lord, asking that your word will go forth and speak to us with clarity, with power, God, with conviction, with Lord, just speak to us, Lord. We need you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I love to just be extremely real when I speak to people, and so I'm going to model that today. I think for many of us, just as a body of Christ in whole, I think many of us, if we were to be real, if we were to admit it, many of us are really unsatisfied with our prayer lives. If we were to be real and honest, many of us will admit that our prayer life might not be where it should be, and we don't have the greatest prayer life. And I think what happens is we ask God for something, and then we don't get it, and we keep asking God for it, and we don't get it, so what happens is we draw away from God. You know, we have sufferings in our life, and we ask God, please take away this suffering. Please take away this pain. And it seems the more we ask, the more sufferings we get and the more pain that we get. And we keep asking God, please take this away. Please take it away. And the more we ask, it seems like the more we get. And then when that happens, it's almost like we kind of stop talking to him. And we kind of disconnect ourselves from him. There's a profound statement that this guy in the book says that I think it kind of underlines everything in the book. It kind of stems from this one statement. It's very simplistic, but he says, God wants to do more than just answer your prayer. God wants to do more. Of course, he's interested in what you're asking about. He's interested in what your heart is crying out, but he is much more interested and working in your life. God is not a genie. He's working to do something greater. And I think about characters in the Bible. I think about Joseph. Joseph, his brother sold him into slavery. Okay, so he was a slave, and then he went to jail. Okay, and I'm thinking during that process, Joseph, there are many times he probably asked God to take this pain away. There are many times that he probably asked God to deliver him, and it just seems like God didn't do it. But what Joseph did was he stayed faithful. He continued to pray more. He didn't, you know, give up on praying. He didn't say, you know what, I'm going to just take a time off praying because I'm frustrated. The same thing with Job. God took everything away from Job. Everything away from Job. But Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Let the name of the Lord be praised. We must understand that God wants to do something greater than just answer our prayers. And when we understand this, it will kind of change the way we pray. I love this. God wants to create a story in our life. The Bible says, for we are God's workmanship. We are His poetry. The word workmanship comes from the word poetry. We are God's poetry. I wonder how many of us are so disconnected with that truth. You know, it's like we wake up every day and we live not life and never really think the fact that God wants to create our story, that God is a poet and He's writing out our story. Romans 3:23 says, for all things work for the good of those who love Him and have been called according to His purposes. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know, and as I read this, think about God speaking this to your life. This is personal. And I hope that you guys can connect with the fact that all this these things are personal. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. God is very interested. God is very much working in your life to create a beautiful story. We must trust God to create our story. Like I said, it'll change the way we pray once we grab a hold of this. We'll begin to trust God and earnestly pray, even if we don't understand what He's doing. Even if we ask God, take this suffering away, but He doesn't take it away. And we keep asking, take this suffering away, but He doesn't take it away. What we'll do is we'll continue to get on our knees and continue to ask God to take this suffering away and trust that He'll do it. And not disconnect from the fact of because of frustration, because He hasn't taken this suffering away. I love this. God wants to make your story a demonstration of His glory. God is working in your life to make your story a demonstration of His glory. That when people see your life, they see the glory of God. That when people look at you, they see the glory of God. God is trying to make our life out so when people ask us about our life, our response will be, God did it. How in the world are you able to smile? How in the world are you able to wake up in the morning and have true peace and you can just simply say, God did it? How are you able? You've been through this. You were depressed. You were backwards against the wall financially. You were dealing with death. You were dealing with something else. How are you able to do it? You'll be able to simply say, God did it. God is trying to work in our lives, so our response to people always is the fact that God did it. I love this story. I tell it at least once every time I give a message. It's the story of a girl and this couple, and we're going to focus on a couple in this couple in the story. There's a girl who received Christ as her Savior, and a couple of days later, she heard a message on the fact that she needs to tell people what God has did for her in her life, and she hasn't done it. So the next day, she promised God, I promise, Lord, that I will tell somebody what You did for me. Okay, so she's going home. She's on a bus, and she sits next to an old grumpy woman. Has anyone ever sat next to an old grumpy lady? It's just, it's like, oh man, you can't really say anything. And she wanted to tell the old grumpy lady her story, but she just couldn't do it. She didn't have the strength to do it. So she goes on another bus home, and so she sits next to an old grumpy man. And this is a true story. And how many have ever sat next to an old grumpy man? That's even more uncomfortable to sit next to an old grumpy man. It's just like, ah. So she didn't have the strength then to tell somewhat those people her story. So she went home. She was totally sad that she broke a promise to God, the fact that she'll tell her story. So she begins to cry. She begins to cry and weep. And then this idea popped in her mind, that she will go, she'll open the phone book, and she'll close her eyes, and then she'll put her finger on a number. And she did that. She put her finger on a name, and she did that. She dials the number, and the phone, it begins to ring, and it begins to ring, and it begins to ring. And just, it rings so long, she was just about to hang it up, but something told her, no, be patient. So it begins to ring, and it begins to ring, and this guy picks up the phone. And she didn't know what to do. idea popped in her mind again. She begins to sing praises to the king. She begins to sing songs of Zion. She begins to sing songs about Christ. This guy on the phone says, hold on. He goes and gets his wife. And this woman's just singing songs of Christ. And just continues to sing songs of Christ. And the story, what happens is they meet up. And what happens is it was a couple. This couple, backs were against the wall. They had so many troubles to the point where they said, you know what? Our life is not worth living anymore. That night, what they decided to do, they decided that they were going to take their life. They got together. They made poison. And as they made poison, and they looked at each other, they kissed each other for the last time. They told each other they loved each other for the last time. And as they were about to drink the poison, the phone rang. God wants to make our life a demonstration of His glory. I guarantee you, if you came to that couple, they will have no problem telling you about how God is creating a story in their life. God is trying to make our life a demonstration of... I think anytime I'll meet that couple, and I will someday in heaven, I'll just directly think of the glory of God. And that's what God wants to do in our lives. That when people think of our life, whatever story it is, it will directly connect us with His glory. And this is so important because, listen, we desperately need Jesus. It's nothing casual. It's not like we need Jesus. No, we desperately need Jesus in these times. We desperately need Him. I've been reading the Gospels, and I've been studying the life of Jesus. And you know what I've noticed? I've noticed that any time Jesus showed up, things happened. Anytime Jesus came, things were changed. Anytime you mention the name of Jesus, things changed. Always. I was at a nursing home with my grandmother not too long ago, and we're going to see this elderly lady. But there was another lady she was rooming with, and she had to be about 40s or under her 40s. And as we were about to leave, we're about to pray with the lady we were going to see. And we turned over and we asked this other lady, hey, do you want us to pray? Do you want us to pray for her? And she said, she was very bitter. She said, no. You can tell that she was really going through some stuff. And she said, no. But something in me, whenever God prompts, this is a sign though, whenever God prompts something in you, just do it. Just do it. I just felt prompt to tell her, you know what, I don't know what you're going through. I can tell you're hurting. I don't know what you're hurting for. But let me tell you, Jesus can fix it. Let me tell you, I don't know, I can tell you're going through pain. I don't know what that pain is, but let me tell you, whatever you need, Jesus, He's got it. And He loves you. And He wants to create your story. And He's not working things out for your bad, but He's working things out for your good because He loves you. And I hope that you will somehow connect with that and you'll be able to trust Him. And I don't know, she didn't respond verbally, but as I looked into her eyes, tears were coming down her face. As I looked into her eyes, I can just feel that whatever God spoke through me, it connected with her. Why? Because something happens when we mention Jesus. Why? Because we desperately need Jesus. And her whole demeanor changed. Then we prayed with the lady that we came to see. And she was, when we left, it was almost like the other lady didn't want us to go. Because something happens when we speak Jesus. And we look around, there's so much need. But Jesus promises. Jesus says, I will supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. If we look around, there's so much trouble in the land. There's so much trouble in Old Fort, and Tiffin, and Fremont, and Fostoria. There's so much trouble around us. But Jesus says, in this life you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome this world. Around us, there's so much anxiety. We got to do this and got to do that. And there's just so much anxiety. We wake up anxious. We go through the day anxious. We fall asleep anxious. God says, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And then he says, then the peace that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. I call that a ridiculous peace. If we not be anxious but pray, he'll give us this peace. Jesus is the answer. There's so much weariness. There's so much weariness in the land. But Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. Folks, we desperately need the power of God. We desperately need the power of Jesus. And you know what the crazy thing about it is? It's in you. The power is in you. The Bible says, for God's divine power has given us everything we need for life and for godliness. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And the word power comes from the word dunamis. And dunamis comes from the word dynamite. His dynamite power has given you everything that you need for life and for godliness. I love the connection between the Gospels and Acts. In the Gospels, God's just, he's out there doing his thing. He's healing the sick. He's raising the dead. He's giving people hope. He's giving people peace. And then he leaves. He goes back to heaven. He dies and goes back with Jesus. And what happens in Acts? The same thing, but it happens with ordinary people like you and me. The same thing happens, but it happens with ordinary people. Why? Because God's divine power has given you everything you need, has given us everything we need for life and for godliness. I've been asking God. I've been praying. I've been on my knees. I've been asking God that he will awaken us. That he will wake up the church. I've been asking God, please awaken us. I've been asking God that he will give us his eyes. I've been asking God that our hearts will burn for the things that break his heart. That when we see a couple over here going through divorce, our heart will break and it will bring us to our knees and we'll pray. That when we look over here and we look at Old Fort High School and we see people struggling with sexuality, that our hearts will just break and we'll begin to pray. That our hearts will break for the things that break God's heart. I was reading the Psalms one night, and this is what David... Listen to what David does. David says, I am worn out from groaning. All night long, I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fail because of all my foes. Away from me, all who do evil. For the Lord has heard my weeping. 2 Corinthians. David's just weeping of the things that break God's heart. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 4 says this. This is Paul. For I woke you out of great distress and anguish in heart with many tears, not to grieve you, but to let you know the depth of my love for you. I'm so afraid that we've become so immune to the things that happen around us. There's brokenness. There's greed. There's depression. And this is around us. You just look next door, you'll find it. There's poverty. There's people who are contemplating suicide. There's war. There's divorce. There's sickness. There's disease. There's rape. There's drugs. There's a lack of respect. There's so much sex going on in our kids. I went to go visit a guy that I worked for, and I was talking to his 12-year-old son, and I looked on his neck, and I saw a hickey. And I said, what are you doing with that hickey? What are you doing? Do you have a girlfriend? He says, no, I have friends with benefits at the age of 12. Folks, when we hear stuff like that, we need to just get on our knees and cry out to God and say, God, help. There's so much murder. I live in Chicago, and you can't turn on the news without hearing about a murder. In fact, this is depressing. At the beginning of this year, I'll turn on the news, and I look on the news, and there's this guy that stabbed his girlfriend 18 times. And I looked at his name, and this is a guy that I went to school with. And we actually hung out for a little bit between my sophomore and junior year. There is so much trouble in the land. So much trouble. But you know what? What's going to change this? I think we need to pray for our president. We must pray for our president. But politics is not going to change it. Coming up with these policies, that's not going to change it. Well, what's going to change it? Your story. Christ forming in you. Him coming out of you and changing the world around you. Your story is what will change. All this stuff that make us weep at night, that should bring us to our knees. Your story. Why? Because for some reason, by His grace, by His mercy, for some crazy reason, God wants to make each of us, He wants to make each of our story a demonstration of His glory. There's someone in Old Fort Church who needs you. There's someone in Old Fort Church who needs your story. There's someone out there. Maybe you live in Tiffin. There's your next door neighbor who needs to know that God exists. And the only way they're going to know is through your story. And I pray. I'm on my knees praying daily that God would just awaken us. And that we will allow Him to just create our story, that we would just trust in Him through the pain, that we would just keep praying, that we'll keep fasting, that we'll be disciplined in our walk with Him, to just trust Him so He can use us to change this world. Because this world needs us. Let's bow our heads. God, I am amazed by you. There's a song that says, Lord, I'm amazed by you, simply amazed by you, how you love us, Lord. God, we don't deserve it. Lord, I thank you for your grace. Lord, I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for loving us, God. Lord, I pray for this church. I thank you that each individual, Lord, you know them. God, you said the very hairs of our head are numbered by you, Lord. God, you know us intimately. Lord, I pray that the lies of Satan, that God, we will crush them, and that your word will speak over our lives, Lord. For some reason, Lord, from the itty-bitty little kids in this room to the oldest person in this room, you want to create our story as a demonstration for your glory, God, to change the world around us, Lord. You put something in us that must come out of us to change the world around us, God. And I pray, Lord, that we do the simple task of just trusting you and allowing you to create our story. I thank you in advance for what you're going to do in all four church, because the people of God says, yes, James, we're going to walk in this thing. Yes, we're going to say yes to God. We're going to allow, no matter how old we are, no matter how young we are, we're going to allow God to come in and to create our story, because the people out there need us, God. We trust in you. Your word says that that's what you're going to do, and we trust in you to do just that, Lord. We thank you in advance for it, God. We praise your name. We worship you, God. We say we need you, Jesus, to come and to change our society, God. We need you to come and change the world around us, God. We trust you to do that, and we trust you to use us to do just that, God. We love you. We bless your holy name. God, I pray that your spirit would just fall on us right now, God. I thank you, God. I thank you, God. God, I just thank you so much, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Help us to praise you. Help us to worship you, God. Help us to live for you, Lord. God, we thank you so much. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Folks, isn't God good? Amen. Don't we serve a mighty, awesome, good God? And I pray that as we leave this place, those words would just linger in our hearts, that when we don't want to think about it, they're there and they're wrestling with us. The fact that God wants to make each of us, from the little bitty kids to the very oldest person, a demonstration of his glory by using our story. I pray that as you leave this place, those words would just stick in your heart. God bless you all. You guys have a great day.